Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. We take the opportunity to welcome my good friend inside Safety Mondays, Officer Jude Rogers of the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Services, as we get set for this particular topic here this afternoon as it relates to cooking, kitchen fire main causes, you know, so cooking safety and, you know, the different hazards it have within the kitchen. All right, so Officer Rogers, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Davey. Good afternoon to our listeners this afternoon. I know this is a very hot topic, for want of a better terminology. No pun intended, but I know this evening we will be cooking, literally, with some great information on how we can protect our homes and our families while we're doing cooking, indoor, outdoor. We're going to take a look at some of the major challenges associated with that.
All right. So, I mean, I'm happy to hear that, you know. So, you know, one of the things you said on this program a minute ago, well, not today, but a while back, is the number of house fires. And over the weekend, I could safely say, I think St. Jude's home went up in flames. There was another house fire I noticed on Friday afternoon in the Belmont area, up in the hills somewhere there. You're coming over the Lady Young, that house was ablaze. And there were other fires throughout Trinidad and Tobago. Now, not because where you're living, you never see a fire in your area. Say thank God, because there are fires blazing. And Officer Jude Rogers shared that with us already, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, I don't know what caused St. Jude's home to go up in flames, but it did nevertheless. And it continues to remind us of the dangers when it comes to fire and the precautions and safety mechanism that we need to put in place. We talked last show, on having these smoke detectors installed. It's a very cheap, economic way of alerting yourselves of a fire. And, you know, today we're going to be talking about cooking safety and the number one causes of kitchen fires and how one can be safe. Now, just to start things off with Officer Rogers, you know, cooking brings families and friends together. We know this. It provides an outlet for creativity. When we say creativity, you know, well, watch me. How you just cook your pilau? Well, I cook an hour long here, and my hour long one taste better than yours. So that's a creative, creative juices start flowing when persons try to outdo each other with cooking, you know. So creativity comes out of that, and it can be relaxing, you know. But, did you know that cooking fires are the number one cause of home fires and home injuries? Well, we'll allow Officer Jude Rogers to give us some safety tips as to how we can prevent these fires.
All right, so let's first of all take a little look at what are the main causes of fires in the kitchen. So when we look at the stats, we see at the top of the list is equipment left unattended. So Davey, right away, I'm recognizing by my own error or by my own omission, I can actually cause a fire to begin in my kitchen. There are also the second cause, abandoning or discarded material. So some material you may be cooking, you abandon, you discard it within your kitchen. Those things can still have heat developed within them. All right, we also want to look at heat sources which come about as a result of being too close to combustibles. And that reminds me that if you're wearing clothing and you're cooking, Davey, you can't go too close to the stove if you have loose clothing, because your clothing could become involved in the cooking. You understand? And next thing you know, you are on fire now. Unclassified misuse of certain types of material. When we talk about misuse of a material, we're talking mainly about oil. And the fact that when you put oil in the pot, and you know everybody likes a chunky, a little pot, Davey, you know how that is go. But we know that oil and water don't mix, and you certainly don't want that oil to pop, overflow, and get onto the side of your cooking utensil, because then you're going to have a fire occurring on your stovetop. One of the other main causes, Davey, is failure to clean these devices and your cooking devices. The buildup of oil and grease in certain areas, it causes also your hose lines can actually be deteriorated, causing a leakage between the gas line and your stove. And that can also be a cause of fire beginning. Unintentionally turning on or forgetting to turn off the gas. Davey, how about that one? How many persons have gone and you know you drive out of the house, you didn't check your checklist, you didn't make a note of it, and then when you reach down the road, you ask yourself, I wonder if I turn off the gas, boy. I wonder if I turn off the lights, boy. And you're questioning yourself, or did I turn it on and leave it on? And so these are the main causes. So I just wanted to trigger our thought pattern as to how these simple things we do on a daily basis could end up putting us in trouble before I started getting to some of the cautions about cooking. So I know people's minds are beginning to already turn when we talk about this. So I told you this topic is a burning topic this morning. It's a very hot topic. So I want members of the public to be on alert. One thing, David, that you don't do when you're cooking, if you are sleepy, and you know sometimes you may have consumed alcohol, that is not the time to cook. I'm throwing that one out there, David. What do you think about that? You're drinking a little alcohol, and you're tired, you're sleepy. What could happen to you in that situation like that, David?
Listen, man, you ain't talk nothing there that I ain't never personally experienced. I gonna share my personal experience, man. I remember coming home.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I coming home from partying and stuff, liming and stuff like that, with a little alcohol and sleepiness, but I'm hungry. You know, I'm feeling hungry now, boy. And I throw some eggs. I say, I go boil some eggs there, make a little egg sandwich with some hops or something. And listen, man, when I hear packs, packs, the water boil out, tell it boil in the pan, the egg and then black in the pot, fall asleep. And I talking about knocking out within a split moment, you know. From the time I sit down on the chair, that was it, until I smell it. So being tired or inebriated from alcohol is a very, very, very dangerous time to say you're putting on a pot to cook or water to boil even.
Exactly. And so members of the public, this could happen to anybody.
Anybody.
Let's be real. Let's break it down here this afternoon, right? The fact of the matter is any one of us, we work in extra hours. Some of us holding down 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet. You know, you have situations like that. As Davey said, you may have gone out to a little event. You come back home, you just want to pop something into the oven to cook quickly or to warm it. And you inadvertently allow it to go too long. That is, you cannot leave your food unattended or cooking unattended, right? If for some reason, Davey, you feel you're going to leave the kitchen, and you tell yourself you're probably you're washing and you're cooking at the same time. Ladies, you could identify with this. You're washing and you're cooking at the same time. You just want to check the machine. Sometimes it's better to load down or turn off the stove and then come back, because you don't know how long you might end up staying in what, checking on the washing or the baby, or something may get your attention. It could be a TV show too, Davey.
Yep.
You know? And you go and you spend about 1 or 2 minutes too long, and when you come back, it's a configuration in your kitchen beyond what you can actually deal with. So I know we're going to have some people who are going to want to call in and talk about their own experiences and stuff like that. We also have to look at what type of material. When I talked about material being a source of combustibility, David, how many times it never happened to you? You put your recipe pot got a little too close to the stove. And what happened to the pot cloth? Right? The pot cloth lights up and you fanning fire and you're beating out the pot cloth. Why? Because the pot cloth is now caught a fire. All right? So we need to be very careful about how we move. I'm always going to remind persons, your clothing is so important. Sometimes these loose clothing, and if the breeze only picks up a little bit, we could be involved. The fire could start and you could be caught a fire. All right? So I want persons to be mindful of that. I want to talk about, how do you deal with smothering a fire, especially when it is involved in a frying pan? Sometimes we see frying pans, because there's oil overflowing the side of the frying pan, the fire begins in the frying pan, and you now have a fire happening over your entire stove. But it's as simple as taking the lid or the cover for that particular fire. That's what I always say, keep the cover for your pots close by, Davey. I don't know if you ever hear that one. And you can simply cover that pot and remove the oxygen from that process, and that fire will be extinguished. All right? So again, also, so a lot of persons, they don't understand that what you can simply do when there's a fire on your stove is to turn the gas regulator off completely. Turn the gas regulator off, remove the head of the gasoline, take it off of the actual gas unit. A number of persons will have an emergency turn off switch for gas that is from the outside of your building. I want to remind persons that that should be spontaneous plan. So, Davey, I want to touch on some safety messages that come along with cooking. Simple. You're in the kitchen, stay in the kitchen, especially when you're frying, grilling, or broiling your food. If you must leave the kitchen, even for a short time, turn off your stove. Do you agree with that one, Davey? Turn off the stove. If you are simmering, baking, roasting, boiling food, check it regularly. Don't just leave it. Go back and check on the macaroni pie, ladies. Go back and check on the baking that you're doing. Remain in your home while cooking is taking place. And another good thing that you could do with these modern stoves, you can use a timer. So that way, when the stove reaches a particular time, you get an alarm that lets you come back and check on it. All these are little measures that will help you to protect against fires within the kitchen while we're cooking. Keep anything that can catch a fire away from your stovetop. I talked about it, your pot cloth, your clothing, you know, different things that we use. We should also, what about children, Davey? Sometimes we have children and children walking in and out of the kitchen. Should children be in and amongst adults that are cooking? The answer to that, we should keep a kid-free zone as part of your kitchen. There should be an area up to where your children know they can go. And then there should be a zone where kids know, I am not allowed in the zone. I am saying at least 1 meter away from the stovetop should be a no-go zone for children. Remember that. 1 meter, a minimum of 1 meter. It could be more, because some children are very miserable and they're going to get in there. And who don't hear, Davey? They're going to
feel.
Feel. That's it. If you are cooking via fire, when in doubt, just get out and call the fire department. Davey, once that flame reaches the ceiling, everybody wants to know, well, when is a good time to fight the fire if you have an extinguisher? But when does it reach the point of no control, or the point where it goes beyond where you can control? How do I know, Fire Officer Rogers, when I should actually begin to fight the fire, or when I should leave the kitchen? And the answer is simple. If the fire has already reached the ceiling, get out. Don't even try to save anything, turn off gas, anything. That fire is too much for you to handle. All right? If it's a small grease fire that is in a pan, smother the flames by covering it with the lid. Now, if the heat is too much and you can't put the lid because you could get burned, I always tell people, you have a damp towel, you wet the towel, you put the towel over your body, over to shield you and the flame, and you cover down, you blanket it, so to speak. All right? And that will allow you, but you must put that water content and dampen it down. Again, you're not going to stay there or throw water on the stove. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could remind anybody of anything important, once there is an oil fire, please don't use water. Davey,
mm-hmm.
I want to bring it in on that one. Why are we not going to use water on an oil-based fire in your kitchen?
Oil-based fire,
end result of that?
That is going to be combustible.
Well, you know, water is made up of two hydrogen molecules, H2O and one oxygen molecule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you, with that hydrogen molecule, you're going to have, basically, literally, it's going to act as a fuel to the fire.
That's right.
The configuration.
That is not going to put it out.
Exactly. You're going to be disfigured. And it also displaces the hot oil and could cause the fire to spread. So you'll never hear fire officers saying to use water on a kitchen fire.
On a kitchen fire,
but
yeah.
But Davey, when most people have a fire in the kitchen, what do they send for?
The same bucket of water.
The same bucket of water.
Mm-hmm. Bring a bowl of water. Bring the hose.
Thank you very much. So what you really need, and this is another clarion call to members of the public, get your fire extinguisher. I've told you about it before. Get a little ABC fire extinguisher. ABC meaning it works on class A, B, and C, or what we call a dry chemical powder fire extinguisher. And it's inexpensive. Get that. Keep that very close to your nearest exit, your kitchen door, your front door, and you can utilize that extinguisher and not apply water, which will put you in a lot of trouble. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, if it's a small fire in the pan and you can cover the lid, put the lid and cover the pot, do so safely as quickly as you can, and then you turn off the gas. I want to throw a little scenario, a little monkey wrench. I like to throw a little monkey wrench into the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, and this is some real life scenarios, Davey. How many of us check the hose that is attached to our regulator and goes back to our stove?
Listen.
And how often do we check that, Davey?
I am happy that you mentioned that point, because that, that line can become brittle. And what happens, the constant move on clipping that gas head and putting it on a new tank ever so often when you run out of gas and it has to be changed, can leave what is known as a hairline slit. And that hairline split now leaks gas, because gas is an invisible substance. It's almost as air going through the slightest crevice or crease it will go through. And what happens when that gas starts leaking, if you start getting that heavy smell, you know, smelling gas, you know, you're cooking, because the flame and the hose is about 3 feet in length, it's very close to an open flame. That is the beginning of a serious catastrophe. If it is, you do not check your hose line, that hose connected from the back of the stove to your gas head, regularly. I would say once a year. Or twice.
Davey, thank you very much. It could be as much as four times per year, every quarter.
Yes,
because
every quarter. Check
look
it.
Look at how often we just change our gas tanks now.
Right, no. Well, some people ain't cook. Some people will argue. Some people will argue and say, you know, I ain't doing much cooking, but you need to check it. Quarterly, if you're not cooking that much, you know, you don't cook that much, so your gas tank this last year, 5-6 months, make sure at least once, twice for the year. If you're cooking every day because you have the kids and whatever, every, as Officer Rogers says, 4 months. And that is very important. I just check it, I just make sure. That is one thing I just look at. From the time I start smelling this gas, an unusual gas smell, or if you get a hissing sound.
Thank you very much.
So you put the gas head over the gas tank. You know, you're supposed to clamp it, cling, and you're getting that hissing sound. One of the two things that's happening, the gas head is not fit snug around the gas container, the gas cylinder, or the rubber
needs the seal. To change.
It chip up, it bite up, or sometimes it's extra hard. So when it's hard, you know, it takes so long. Remember, these gas cylinders are continuously going down to NP and refilling, right? So it get hard. Sometimes what you can do is if you have an extra gas tank, another gas tank in your house, you take off the rubber and put it on that for safety. And when the people come, you keep the old rubber. And when you're buying a tank of gas, you let them know that this rubber is not good. But that,
Davey, I want to give you some real life experiences now as a fire officer. I'm going to bring my 20 years of experience into play now. So
recently
we are discovering some other issues that are happening with gas tanks for cooking. These gas tanks, some of them, especially the 100-pound gas tanks, remain in a standing position on the outside of your house, exposed sometimes to the element of weather and wear and tear. You know where's the one place we don't check when we check in our gas tank?
Where?
We don't check the underneath of the tank.
Oh, good. We're talking about rusting.
I have received a call already where we went. We got a call of a leaking LPG tank, 100-pound tank. Big, lots of hissing, as you say. And we look for the leak all over. Do you know where the leak was?
Where? At the bottom.
When we turn the tank, we disconnected the tank. Of course, we will disconnect from source. And we ensure that no, but we still hearing gas escaping. Thankfully, the lady did not lie. And ladies and gentlemen, anytime you hear gas or you smell gas, because gas for cooking your propane tank has a pungent smell, so you know for a fact that there is gas in the house.
Yes.
You should not put on any electronic item. If the lights are on, leave them on. If the lights are off, leave them off. Because all you want at that time with a buildup of gas in your house is a source of ignition or a spark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, Davey. Davy, and I'm going to give you an instant, another instant after this. So this is one that was solved with no catastrophic damage. I'm going to tell you about one where the person gets injured and the house was damaged. Hold on, wait. So when we lean the tank to, and we look to the bottom of the tank, there is rusting taking place at the bottom of the tank and a pinhole leak at the bottom. Davy, you would have never looked for that leak there. Never. So I want to tell members of the public, when you're going to purchase a tank, don't just check to see if it paints nice on the outside, nice red, because the tanks are being refurbished. You have to look under the tank to make sure the tank is not rusted as well, and that the tank is brittle and could cause a leak from the bottom of the tank. I know members of the public have actually probably engaged and seen this happen to them. So apart from the seal, check below the tank to make sure the tank is a wholesome and a new tank, or one that is put into use that is safe to use. No indictment against anybody here, but I'm saying check your own mind. If you fail to mind your business, guess what's going to happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You have to mind your business. You are your own best keeper. All right? The next instant I'm going to tell you about, Davy, is that exact same one that you brought to my attention. I know we have news coming up, so let me bring this one to light quickly.
You have a call on the line as well.
After about this. Listen.
Yeah.
So a member of the public came home, and this person know for a fact that they have never moved that gas line, and that gas line became brittle. There is a buildup of dirt, food, all sorts of things. And over time, I could imagine probably 5 or 6 years, this gas line had several cracks on it. Davy, you know what happened? Gas was leaking when this person wasn't home from that same brittle hose line. Not even the hose clip was the problem, the hose line itself. Multiple cracks on the hose line. And there was a buildup of gas. The person ignored the buildup of gas and still chose to light the stove. Well, Davy, the end result of that is that person received quite a bit of first-degree burns, and there was an explosion within that blew the entire ceiling off of that particular apartment.
Wow.
Davy, it could have burned down the entire apartment building with multiple tenants in it. Thankfully, that person is still alive today. It could have been different. But the person was burned, and I believe they also had a child or a teenager close to them. That person also experienced burns. So I wanna bring that to light, that we take cooking lightly, but it's the one thing where we use fire all the time. And wherever we're using fire in our home, that is where we increase the potential for fires to take place in our vicinity. So members of the public, be aware. The challenge comes from cooking, and it comes from those very same gas tank and your hose. And when we come back from the break, I will tell you about a brand new stove that exploded on an individual, and how that too could be an issue. You must get your stove checked out first if you have a brand new stove, but you don't know if there's a leak somewhere in that system. So sometimes things happen when it gets into old, Davy, and sometimes when it's brand new. You have to do your checks.
Hello, good afternoon. Right. You have 30 seconds to ask your question very quickly.
Installation of gas tanks in closed garage.
Oh, yes.
All right. Yes. Officer Jude.
I'll touch on that when we come back, Davy. Enclosed garage. I'll deal with that.
All right. That could be very challenging as well. So stick around, folks. Officer Jude Rogers will be back with us in a little bit as we take a break.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour, 5 o'clock. Good afternoon again, Trinidad and Tobago. We are talking, this is Safety Mondays, as we are dealing with kitchen fires and the number one causes of this. We have on the Zoom link with us this afternoon, none other than Officer Jude Rogers of the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Services. Officer Rogers, we're talking about enclosed garages as it relates to the 100-pound cylinders and that kind of thing. Could we get some insight? Thank you very much to that caller. Remember, 627-3223 and 625-2257, or you can send a WhatsApp to 306-1065.
You know, as the caller rightfully pointed out, and this caller has been with us and supporting us from the inception of the show, David.
That's correct.
It's good to get to know our callers. So the next time that caller calls, I'll want to get the name of the caller if he's willing to volunteer his name, because he always brings very pertinent point. And the point that the caller was trying to make, that if you do not place your gas cylinders in a open ventilated space, those 100-pound gas cylinders are not supposed to be locked in a garage. They're not supposed to be locked in a storeroom. They have to be in the open air, ventilated, so that if there is, for some reason, David, the situation that I described earlier, where the tank is leaking for some reason, that gas is going to be trapped in that garage. It's going to be trapped in that enclosed storage area. So even when you're storing the tank, Davy, you have to store it in a ventilated area. You may chain that tank to, let's say, a post or a wall or something that does not allow it to fall, and you definitely don't lean the gas tank sideways. Davy, I know people lean gas tank sideways to get more gas out of it.
But does that even work? Does that even work?
Maybe whether it works or not, that is a mad, mad situation.
That matters not.
So I want to commend the caller on highlighting the fact that any place that you are storing gas tanks must be in an open ventilated area. Let's take some calls, Davy.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, Davy. Right now, I still need to buy some drink, some rum for you. I got a whole bottle of rum I drink in here. Yeah. But when a man condemning me, let him look at his own self now, boy.
All right. I don't mean to cut you off, caller. I really respect you and I appreciate your call. But right now, we're in a segment of Safety Mondays where we are dealing with the safety of kitchen fires or the preventative measures we can take in kitchen fire. So I don't mean to cut you off. Feel free to call me after 5:30 and we'll continue our dialogue. All right.
So I want to touch on one for the books too, Davy.
Uh-huh.
Remember I mentioned to you that there is a strong possibility that when you purchase a brand new stove, or you have a stove being repaired,
mm-hmm.
that there is a possibility that the lines can still be leaking in some form, or you may have some issue. My suggestion to you, before you take possession of a brand new item, have them test that item for you. Have them test that item and ensure that stove, that microwave, the burner, the cooker that is on the tabletop, or even those electric stoves. Let them test that stove and show you that the stove is functioning properly before you take possession of it, Davy. Davy, we've had investigations where stoves have exploded. And when the person gives you their report, they let you know that they just purchased the stove within a month and they did nothing out of the abnormal. And for some reason, the entire stove ruptured. And when you investigate further, sometimes you recognize that it may be a manufacturer's defect. So I want people to be kind of cognizant of these types of situations that can happen. All right? So we touch on quite a few points here. No, Davy, we touch on a few points. I'm sure there are some callers who may have had some kind of, you know, experience and can help us to bring to light some of the challenges that you face.
Hello, good
that is going on.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davy. Yes, just a quick question to the fire officer, or is this a concern really? So I made an observation for the last couple weeks in the New Grant area there, where some of these farmers, they pack in car tires around bamboo patches to burn down to clear land for farming and trees as well. So from the professional fire officer there, how dangerous is that with the tire fumes, and is that against the law at this time? Alice Norfia, thank you.
Well, again, very intelligent callers. I want to say, caller, that observation is a reportable observation. That is against the law. Not only is it against the laws in relation to fire and certain fires outdoors, those farmers need to have a permit. And when they apply for the permit, David, they would have been given strict instructions as to how they should go about burning, even if it's a bamboo patch. Not only that, bamboo patches are in danger. And bamboo patches come with some form of protection, environmental protection. You're not allowed to cut bamboo and burn bamboo without permits as well. These are issues that are plaguing our society. A bamboo is something that retains the soil and keeps the soil intact. And it normally is along rivers. And you don't want to destroy that, Davy. That's an environmental issue. But it's also a fire hazard. And it falls directly into the Agriculture Fires Act caller. And that can be reported if you can take some sort of, don't endanger yourself, But if it is that you can make the report, if they are continuing to do so, if you take a photo, some sort of image, everybody has a phone in their hand, report that to your fire service or to the police. They are equipped to respond to that. We have fire guardians in each major stations in Trinidad and Tobago, in all of the headquarters. Their responsibility, their duty, is to visit your property on the application for a fire permit. And that fire permit can allow a person to burn, but only under certain circumstances. So again, caller, that's a good point that you make. You're not allowed to burn. Let's talk about the tires too. Tires and burning up tires is an environmental hazard. That creates a great deal of not just black smoke, but smoke that is dangerous for humans to inhale. So that person who is doing that and people who continue to burn tires, they are actually in contravention of the laws, of the environmental laws in Trinidad and Tobago. And they too would be under some sort of, we'd say, some sort of redress by the law. But we need to report those so that we can have them addressed directly.
You know, one of the things that we talked about this afternoon, and I want us to revisit it very quickly. One texter is asking me, is there a particular... Oh, somebody now messaged me here. Oh, they were saying, Rogers, that that's an EMA concern. The burning,
that's right.
Right, that's an environmental...
Right.
Right.
Environmental concern, yeah, that's right.
They're saying it's an EMA concern. I want us to revisit the gas cylinder. Somebody said they missed the gas cylinder talk. So let's revisit that briefly. The 20-pound cylinders, the 100-pound cylinders. Now, this is something that Officer Rogers mentioned, that, you know, we can be not negligent, but, you know, we don't study it now, boy. How much of us has gone by a tank of gas? We don't study if the tank clean. I remember my mom purchasing gas and, give me a clean tank, yeah? Mm-hmm. The tank looking new because, you know, you paint over the tank. They want a clean tank. And they're more concerned of the tank looking clean because they go in the kitchen. But they're not concerned as if this tank is a safe tank.
So let me tell you something about that. Now, when you have any kind of gas that is under stored pressure, there is something that has to be done called a pressure test. And that is normally done, that is imprinted on the tank. It is so important that they actually etch that onto the tank by impressing on the tank. And if you want that, some of those tanks need to be removed from service because they have not been pressure tested within the stipulated time. So I believe that period is supposed to be 5 years. Mm. And after that, you must get that tank pressure tested. And only when it passes that pressure test, then it can be brought back into service. So we have quite a few tanks that have been that have reached their expiry date and they're still in service. So I want members of the public to be aware of that, and I want to thank one of my batch, Officer Patrovani, for reminding me about that and bringing that to my attention. So I know he's locked on and listening right now.
All right,
there are a number of other fire officers who are also part and parcel of this health and safety drive that we are on here in the fire service as well.
Now, is it that the fire services, is it that the tanks, these tanks, they're supposed to have this marking on them? Are we now seeing that the consumers and customers supposed to look for this? That's supposed to be somewhere in the tank?
Well, it's there, but again, only with the trained eye, Davey, I believe that you'll be able to see it. But then again, as you said, your mom would look for a clean tank, and this is what I'm trying to get people to understand. Members of the public, the whole idea of a clean tank does not mean that you're getting a new tank. A nicely painted tank could be a refurbished tank and not necessarily one that is a serviceable tank. So again, these tanks go through a lot of heavy duty movement. They've sometimes see them throwing the tank. I mean, they're doing their job. It's a heavy worker. It's a rough, heavy work. It's a heavy labor. Mm. But nonetheless, these tanks take a battering. So you have a duty, and the main challenge that I saw is looking under the tank, because the top of the tank is painted and looking lovely, but under the tank is rusted.
Yes.
The tank has not been pressure tested. It has just been reused without doing the necessary check and balance that needs to take place.
And
so
again,
I caution members of the public, your only check that you're doing is not only at the top where it has the seal, the little black rubber seal.
Yes.
To make sure that the head of the tank, the regulator, goes on properly, you need to check under the tank as well.
Yes.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
And don't just look for the tank that's painted nicely.
Yes.
As some of us do, the red. You know, you painted up real nice. Looking good.
Looking good.
New tank of gas this time. That tank of gas is 30, 20 years old. You don't know.
That's correct. So you need to...
It may seem like a little joke, but Davey, it could lead to serious repercussions.
And that's the thing. We want you to turn your tank upside down. Lean it, at least lean and look underneath the tank.
Look
for the rust spots. Look for the wear and tear, the deterioration of the tank in those corners that can be leaking, you know, because sometimes they're stored outside where they're being sold and rain and sun, so they get rusted.
Exactly.
Good afternoon.
Exactly.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a 2.5-year-old grandbaby, toddler baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I think some parents could do, but I don't know where my son got them. You know the knobs for the stove?
Yes.
There are some covers.
Yes.
And only adults can press that cover to open it, because children, some of them tend to run around kitchen and want to be turning knobs and opening cupboards, you know?
Mm.
So I suggest that. It's a
plastic cover
for putting over the stove knob. To turn on and off, and only when the adults want to put on the soap, they know how to press that cover to open. It's a see-through cover, so you can see the marking, you know, what degree or whatever on your soap.
Well, I mean, okay, I like that. That's an excellent observation and great point. Thank you very much for sharing, caller 627-3223 and 625-2257 or your WhatsApp at 306-1065. But here the thing with that, officer, if you can't afford to get that covering for your stove, you finish use that stove, unclip that gas head. Don't turn it off. Take the gas head off the stove and rest the side. Because to put on that gas head is a task.
I want to give a suggestion to members of the public. Of the public, we are human beings and we're prone to forget. Sometimes we are in a hurry, things can happen and we can forget. So to avoid that, one thing that somebody brought to my attention, I found it to be such a valuable tool. At the door where you know you want to leave when you're going out, create a checklist of all the things that you know you need to do. Heater turn off, light turn off, water heater off, gas line off, and you go down the list. So whenever you are leaving home, don't leave it home without checking by the door where you will finally discharge from your home and go through your checklist. So, you know, one time you go through, and if you can safely take off those things on your list, you know that you did what you're supposed to do before you left the house. All right.
I like that.
I found that to be very, very valuable. Right. I have a couple other tips. You are no callers.
Yes. Go ahead. Let's get those tips going. We are now 20 minutes after 5. Let's get those tips going.
Okay, guys. So, ladies and gentlemen, just think about microwaves. Everybody know we have microwaves in our homes.
Mm.
But let me ask a question. How many of us running our microwave on an extension cord? Because where you want to put the microwave may not have an assigned approved electrical outlet, and you're running your microwave on an electrical extension. How much of us doing that? I want to tell you the dangers of that. So extension cords should never be used as a permanent source of electricity for your appliances. Extension cords are for temporary use only. And so when you place your microwave directly onto an extension cord, you have the possibility of overloading that circuit, which, as you all know, Davey, can cause a fire. So I want us to desist from that practice forthwith. That is not a good practice. Well, so one of the ways that you can be injured too is when you use a microwave, sometimes, Davey, you hear them say, do not seal the lid on the item that you're microwaving.
Right.
You know what's the reason for that? There's a buildup of moisture which turns to vapors, and you open that seal, you know, something may get burned from the steam.
That's correct.
Yes, so you can be in the damage to you, though, always have to be a fire, you know, Davey.
Well,
it could come as simply as a second degree or first degree burn.
But what about this? Right? Here is something that is very common that persons, those of you that eat this a lot, will be cognizant of it and recognize it. You see this microwavable popcorn in this bag? When you put that to pop in that microwave, you have to hold that popcorn bag at an angle. There is a way to open that bag. Don't feel when that thing don't pop. You could just open that just so the steam and heat emanating from that on its inauguration, when you open it, will give you such a burn. You would wonder if your hand was over the open flame on a stove when that done with you. So you need to be even. People have to say, child, putting popcorn there, and you have your children, your 7-year-old, your 5-year-old, going in the microwave, and mommy, I could do it. And it, when it's done pop, you tell them, go and take it. And they know, they don't know the dangers. Because there's a marking as to how to open microwavable popcorn. You don't open microwavable popcorn just like that. There's a way to open microwavable popcorn. And once you open it just like that, you find yourself in a situation where the popcorn open and it burn in you. It burn your thumb. It burn your fingers. It burn you as an adult. So don't have your children dealing with that. Right? Put in a container in the microwave, as the officer said, sealed. Sometimes it's good you rest the item in the microwave and you kind of leave the container open a bit or slanted so the air moisture, whatever. Because when you pop it open, that container, the heat and steam coming from it, it's going to burn you. As the officer said, second degree burns. Not third degree and we're talking second degree burns.
Yeah, you can get that. You can get deep burns.
With water blisters
point,
and stuff. Yes, go ahead.
With microwaves, ladies and gentlemen, if ever a microwave, something that's in the microwave catches a fire, turn it off, keep the door closed. Do not open that, introducing oxygen into that compartment. Do not open the door until the fire is completely out, and have the microwave either taken out of service or send it for repairs one time. Don't go and plug it back in and try it again.
So how do you... Okay, so you see the fire start in the microwave. You say do not open the microwave.
Do not, under no circumstances, open the microwave while there's a fire in it. You have to plug out cut the source of power. That's the main thing. Make sure that it's no longer energized. And obviously, once something has no more heat potential, the oxygen that is within that compartment will eventually be utilized and that fire will go out. If you only open that microwave, Davy, you have the possibility of a rush of oxygen going into that, and there's a continued configuration. It could flare up on you, burn you, and burn the wooden cupboard above and start an additional fire.
That's correct.
It's now contained within the
because
microwave.
Because with the rush of oxygen coming out of that microwave, it's also coming out with flames.
Going in,
it's also going to have the flames coming out. It's going to pull out the flames. It's going to pull out the flames.
Let me talk to the callers about some burn. So here's what happened. Turn pot handles away, because it's not only fires, but turn the pot handles inward. If you leave a pot handle hanging off the edge of your stove, ladies and gentlemen, at some point in time, you're going to make the mistake and pull down the hot item and pull it onto yourself, burning yourself with the pot or the hot water or the hot stew or whatever it may be. One other way you could avoid that, use the back burners. Once they are available, instead of using the front burner, put a little common sense, use your back burners.
But here's another thing to add to what you were just saying. You know, sometimes you're cooking the peas and you leave the spoon in the pot. So you turn it up and you leave the spoon and walk away. That will give you a bad burn as well. That is a very serious. Come on, you grab that pot spoon now and burn the inside of your hands. So when you're stirring the pot, you know you're checking the meat or whatever, you're stirring it. People have a tendency while they're still cooking something in the kitchen, they leave the pot spoon in the pot while it's simmering and cooking. That is a danger. But here's a question for you, sir. We are now 26 minutes after 5. We normally would conclude our program at 5:30. When a person is injured in the kitchen with a burn.
Yes.
The first thing they do, they put their hand under running water.
Right. That's a good practice, actually.
Right.
Go ahead.
But removing it, I have experienced it myself, removing your hand from that water, unless you have this medication called Burn Heal, where you can rub that on your, and that really works. They're saying toothpaste and condensed milk, because when you put your hand in the water, it cools down. But when you take your hand out, it heats up because under the skin is inflamed. What are your suggestions outside of Burn Heal that you can purchase at any pharmacies and OTC, over-the-counter drug, that you can buy and have in your homes for these mishaps? Outside of that Burn Heal, what other suggestions do you have to help our kitchen individuals?
Right. One of the main things you need to do, Davy, is to care for the possibility of the wound, because what's going to happen now, you don't know, but deep under the epidermis of the skin, you may have caused burning to take place. There's tissue damage taking place down there. You really want to protect that area, but also keep that area cool. So again, keep your hand under running water for 3 to 5 minutes. Don't stop. Some people stop because they tell themselves, but the burning is still taking place. That's heat that's inside of your skin now.
Yes.
The next step is to keep that area clean and covered with a dry cloth. And I suggested that it should be a cotton-based
right? material.
And again, because at that point in time, the possibility is your hands are going to become blistered. That's the body's natural mechanism beginning to work down. And so what you don't want to do is to have that skin now exposed to the element. And if you believe that that burn is bigger than your fist, the size of your fist, I am suggesting that that is where you need to seek medical attention.
Interesting. All right? Interesting.
Yeah. So all of these other ointments and these creams that you can put on your hand are really to either soothe or to protect against infection. So the real true thing there is to keep that area as cool for as long as possible. And again, if you believe that the burning is a much larger space or it's much deeper, you need to seek medical attention. Fair enough, callers?
Fair enough.
One last thing, and I know we'll have to do a little quick review now.
Mm-hmm.
Stoves can rupture, but let me just say this. The leading cause of fires in the kitchen is unattended cooking. We're going to leave here with that. We're going to go take it home with those.
Yes, ones. I feel so.
The leading cause of fires in the kitchen is unattended cooking. Yes, they could fall asleep. Yes, people use alcohol, all these things. But deliberately leaving the cooking unattended. All right? One, most of the cooking fires that take place involve your stove. So now we narrow it down to the stove and we narrow it down to unattended cooking. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can leave you with one point here today that will save you, is to not leave your stove unattended when you're cooking, and to know that anything related to your stove, your gas tank, your gas hose, the hose clip, the lines that are running within your, especially if you had your stove repaired, make sure that these repair personnel demonstrate that your stove is in good serviceable use. Even if you buy a brand new stove, I'm saying to you, make sure that they demonstrate that it's working properly. Because when you take that stove home now, you've now taken responsibility for the outcome of that stove. All right? So I know that we're running out of time. A couple more callers, because there's going to be. So, and again, the best fire extinguisher for your home is an ABC or a dry chemical fire extinguisher, dry chemical powder. Have it installed near your exit, the kitchen door, the front door, where you can access it and utilize it using the system pass, pull the pin, aim the nozzle, squeeze the discharge lever, and sweep from side to side, effectively extinguishing a fire in your home. Make sure you have your smoke detectors, and I know we're coming back again with a burning topic, as we say, Davey, a burning topic next week. I'll advise the public what we're coming with next week, really.
Indeed, so when the TTFS say a burning topic, no pun intended, eh? So, Officer Jude, thank you very much for being on Inside Safety Mondays here this afternoon. No doubt a lot of persons would have been well educated and informed as to safety measures that can be taken inside the kitchen when they are cooking and not take these things for granted. All right? Thank you very much again, Officer Jude Rogers. We'll be in touch soon. Take care.
Yes,
nice.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.